This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Resource Center. I'm Angeline Tee, and we have Raj Kumar with us today from UCSI Blue Ocean Strategy. And it's been a while, Raj.
Hi, Angeline. Yeah, it's been a while. It's good to be back.
So I know the reason why you're here with us today is because you published an article, talk about loving innovation. And, you know, you actually came up with actionable steps for organizations to love innovation.
Yeah.
So, you know, first of all, what drove you to write this piece in the first place?
Actually, something that's very interesting. You know, the editor asked me to talk about innovation, but then again, it was in February, so the theme was love. So I was like, that's interesting. So how do I tie these two together? But what came across strongly was that it's my love for innovation. And when I did the studies and when I did the research, I found that, you know, a lot of times love is very hard to decode love, but in the Greek mythology, we find that love is expressed in three different ways. One is eros, one is agape, and the other one is philia. And philia basically is practical love. So practical meaning that if you love something or someone, your acts and actions and deeds will be towards that particular person or anything that you're in love with, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, I know you love traveling. So if you love traveling, obviously you will be the go-to person. You are always looking at, you know, where's the next place to go to.
Find the cheapest flights every day.
Exactly. So in that context, you know, if we were to love innovation, you know, our acts and activities and deeds as an organization will be towards that as well.
Mm.
So, and, you know, and I found out that, interestingly enough, the companies that are actually in love with innovation are the ones that really innovate and are the game changers in the industry.
Mm.
So, you know, why not, you know, companies fall in love with innovation instead of just getting excited about it, instead of just liking it, instead of just looking at it as a must, as a nice to have, but it actually should be a must have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the whole thing came about.
So that's why it's love and not like,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, just love and not like. So love is about, you know, really having the passion for it. And I think that that's something that I see lacking. Everybody say, yeah, innovation is nice, you know, it's nice to have. And they all have the same excitement. They get very excited when they see a new idea coming about, a new company introducing something new. But they themselves don't do anything about it. So my mission right now is to help organizations to fall in love with innovation and not just like or just have a must-have.
Mm. So when you say having this love innovation into the DNA of these organizations, but any examples of companies that actually love innovation?
Oh, there are many. There are many. In fact, you know, everybody knows 3M, Lego, GE, Whirlpool, Volvo, Starbucks, and the list goes on and on. And these are organizations, if you really study them very carefully, you know, all their acts and activities and deeds are centered around innovation. Even Unilever, all of it is about them loving innovation and not just saying, okay, we have an innovation department and that's it. No.
Yeah.
But the entire organization really embraces and loves innovation. So, and that's why they are the game changers. They're always coming up with new products. They're always coming up with new things. And that's essentially
It's funny that you brought up that as long as some companies feel that they have an innovation department, they've got it down pat.
Yeah, exactly. But we are talking about an organizational innovation initiative. We're not just talking about product, process, and service innovation, but we're talking about organizational innovation. And I think that is something that's very important, especially in the day and age today when everything is being disrupted and anybody can get into the ring with you.
So now let's go into the actionable steps, right? Like, how can organizations fall in love with innovation?
Yeah, so I'm going to use the abbreviation L-O-V-E, love, so that it's easy for everyone to remember. So the first one is the heart of innovation is ideas. So L stands for lock in those ideas. So make sure, you know, it's not just about a suggestion box. It's really about you locking in the ideas amongst your employees. And also, more importantly, if you can lock in ideas from your customers, from your suppliers, you know, if you can lock this in, I think this is very important. One sign of an organization that falls in love with innovation or is in love with innovation are those that lock in ideas. So there's a very interesting example here. You know, Lego. Lego is a very, very innovative company. And they have a platform called ideas.lego.com.
Okay.
And this platform is where they get ideas of Lego models from a community. Basically, our customers out there who have bought and they have came up with new models, new designs, and so on and so forth. And they will submit, and then, you know, the community will vote. And if they like it, they will then go to market with it. You know, Lego will then create a model and they will commercialize it and it will be sold around the world.
Wow.
So that's so interesting that, you know, they take ideas so seriously to the point where, you know, it's properly done and they lock in these ideas. At the end of the day, locking in these ideas are not something that's expensive. You just need a good web platform. There are many free platforms out there. So if you can lock in these ideas, keep these ideas, and make sure these ideas align with the company's corporate strategy and also innovation strategy, and that is the first step that you need to take in order to fall in love with innovation. Yeah. That's the first L.
And the second thing is O.
Yeah, the second thing is O. So it's not just about locking in these ideas, but you need to operationalize a system. So meaning that these ideas should not be just put in a shelf. So you need to create a system where these ideas are managed. So just like a seed, right? You got to nurture the seed, you got to plant in the right soil, and you got to water it, and it grows and it bears fruit. So likewise, an idea. So an idea needs to be firstly properly managed to make sure that the ideas coming in are aligned with the corporate innovation and corporate strategy. And then you got to manage these ideas, so to properly allocate resources. You got to have a proper system in place, and you got to have a proper toolkits, handbooks, and manage these ideas to a point where it is implemented as a project.
Right.
I think that's very, very important, because as long as you have all this in place, so the idea grows into a project and you coach a project, and ideas will be executed successfully. Because at the end of the day, execution is always a people issue.
Yeah.
So you need to manage this in such a way so that you will reap the benefits. And we had the privilege of working with organizations that had zero from ground zero. They are GLCs basically, they have zero management on innovation. But we had the privilege of putting all these systems in place and the process of getting in ideas, managing these ideas, managing the resources, and at the end of the day, it becoming projects and adding value to the company.
Mm.
And they are over the results were astounding, which over with over 3 to 4 million worth of savings.
Wow.
And this is just by proper idea management into projects and execution.
So any examples into these idea management system, right? It sounds very technical, they say operationalize it, but
yeah.
What is the first step of getting into that?
Okay, the first step is actually most of these things are managed by a unit or a department, and sometimes even HR can take this up.
Mm.
So it is not a system that is basically a very complex IT system. What we are talking about is basically like processes in place. So let's say you submit an idea, then the idea, you can track where the idea is right now. And then, you know, you will know that, okay, in the next 6 weeks, your idea will be evaluated. So we have a committee to evaluate these ideas. And then after that, these ideas will be assessed, you know, in terms of the impact. And then resources will be allocated. And then you form project teams. And then when you form these project teams, you are coached. And then you execute. And then you syndicate with other departments. And then eventually you let the custodian or any department take over and implement it further, and then you'll see the results. So it's actually about managing. It's about putting in a process, and it's not rocket science. And it's not talking about high tech. It can be low tech even.
Yeah.
But as long as there's a discipline, there are I hate to use this word, but SOPs in place. But you know, sometimes these are important. It's nothing wrong to have standard operating procedures, even for innovation. Many people have this misconception that, oh, innovation needs to be free. And, you know, yes, it is. But at the heart of it, it's creativity. But, you know, if it's not properly managed, if there's no proper systems or methodology in place, then it's just going to die off. Just like you scattering seeds on the ground. But if you don't really care for it, you don't nurture it, you don't grow it, it's not going to become, it's not going to grow and bear fruits.
And it's true, right? Because every time you go into like a brainstorming meeting and there's no follow-up, and then you just wasted 2 hours in the meeting room and nothing gets done, right?
Yep. Okay. And everybody feels good about it. Everybody say, yeah, let's do it. But then what's next, right?
Yeah.
There's no proper management of it.
So is there a specific person in an organization who should actually champion this? Because sometimes, a lot of times it's just, oh, it's not, you know, my responsibility to actually manage this.
Yeah. So we recommend to set up like a innovation unit or champion.
Mm-hmm.
So they will be the one that will be working across all the departments. But at the same time, within the department, they will have innovation champions. So innovation champions will work with this central unit. and then, you know, it becomes a co-creation, a collaborative approach.
Mm.
And everything should be monitored. For example, like a staff should know, okay, I submitted an idea because I saw an opportunity, right? And I need to know where my idea is. I need to know how good is my idea, or maybe I need to rework at my idea to make sure that this will be implemented. And I need to be able to have proper support systems in order for me to know that this idea is something that is good or bad, or I can self-evaluate. So we can put this, this kind of support systems can be easily put. Like you can empower the employees with toolkits. You can give them some form of guidelines or what makes a good idea, what makes a great idea, and how much resources allocated can be put in place. And how do you have access to all these resources?
Mm.
And then how can you form a project team? All the how-tos can be put in place so that you know that, okay, I know my idea didn't go through because it lacked this, then this, and this. But if it has all this, then it will become a project. And then it need to go a full circle. When it's implemented, it must be, the idea must be rewarded, the team must be rewarded.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, if you don't go a full circle and there's no proper reward systems and it's not aligned and you don't put it in your performance management, then people will get demotivated. People say, yeah, it's no difference, just giving me more work.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it should be something where people are excited about.
Mm. Okay. And the next one is V, which is value innovation. But we'll find out more about this after these messages. In the studio with us, we have Raj Kumar. He's a CEO at the UCSI Consulting Group. This is Resource Center. We'll be back for more BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
We're back on Resource Center with me, Angeline Tay. And in the studio, we have Raj Kumar. He's the CEO at the UCSI Consulting Group. And earlier, we've covered the first two steps on how organizations can fall in love with innovation. So we talked about locking in ideas. And number two is operationalize those ideas. And I think that's quite a lengthy process, actually, to put in management systems for ideas alone, right? And now the third element is V.
V, yes. So V is stands for value innovate. You know, many a times we have also seen that companies are good at locking in ideas and they're also good at operationalizing systems and making sure these ideas are implemented. But there's one important element that we have to remember is value innovation. So value innovation is essentially a concept that's from Blue Ocean Strategy, developed by Professor Chan Kim and René Mauban. It's about increasing value and reducing costs at the same time. So we have to make sure that this entire process of from ideation right up to project implementation is governed by value innovation, meaning that whatever idea that comes in should be either increasing value for the customer or reducing costs at the same time. And it doesn't have to be expensive, because sometimes the temptation of creating ideas that is associated with high cost is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we just want to see something that is cool or something that really goes to market and so on and so forth. But, you know, if it doesn't bring value to the customer or it doesn't reduce costs or it doesn't increase profitability, there's no business alignment with, corporate strategy, then we should not look into that. And that should be like a filtering system.
Mm.
So whenever we put a system, proper process in place for organization, value innovation will be like across a governing gatekeeping of these ideas to ensure that, hey, these ideas must increase value and reduce costs.
Increase value, decrease costs.
Decrease costs at the same time, yeah. And sometimes great, this is to ensure good ROI. So, you know, when we have value innovation, I think at the end of the day, we'll be able to really look at ways of, maximizing profitability for the organization.
Mm.
And I think it's important to remember, sometimes it's not just about reducing costs. We want to reduce costs, but we want to cut the fat, don't cut the muscle. So this principle of value innovation helps you to do that. There's a framework called eliminate, reduce, raise, and create. So eliminate, reduce, you reduce costs. Raise and create, you increase value. So at the end of the day, you don't want to, like I said, cut the muscle. Because a lot of time people say, okay, times are bad, the economy is bad. Let's cut costs.
Cut people down.
Mm. It's funny, right? People say human capital is like the most important asset. You call it human capital, but they're the first to go when there's an economic recession.
Because they're the most expensive resource,
but,
right?
But why not downsize your building to somewhere else? You know, you see the paradox, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we have to look at value innovation as a governing principle across.
Mm.
And I must say that, you know, just to give some examples, I'm very proud to say that I see the principle of value innovation even in our national post. You know, I recently went there with my wife to a post office for some reason. I've not been to post office for quite a while. So, like many of us, I think. But I was very impressed and was very happy to see that a lot of these ideas are really adding value to the customer, and some of them are not very expensive. You know, for example, there's a lot of solutions for e-commerce customers like EasyPost, and also there's microfinancing for less fortunate. So all these ideas are actually very, very interesting. They are high value and low cost. Mm. So I'm happy to see that these ideas coming in. And true enough, Post have increased their profits by 55%. No?
Because of this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I believe they're applying the principle of value innovation, because I think at the end of the day, they know how to increase value and reduce costs, right?
Well, so, it sounds easy, right? So you just look at this. Value innovation means increase value to your customers, reducing costs.
Yeah.
It's the goal. But then when it comes to, you know, when you have the ideas and implementing these ideas, how do you make sure that you're actually on par with this?
Yeah. So you have to look at, there essentially needs to be some analysis. So that's why, again, going back to the previous point of operation system, so there must be always gatekeeping in terms of an idea growing, passing the first stage and going to the next stage and saying that, hey, there is elements of increasing value and reducing cost of this idea, and it can become a project and it can have certain value in terms of numbers of either cost reduction or increasing customer satisfaction by removing some pain points of the customers.
Mm.
So this has to be all this can be calculated and managed as you move along.
Mm.
So tools are also very important for ideas to become projects. So these tools can be put in place, or rather can be used through the toolkits, and this can help employees at any level to guide themselves, self-guiding, in terms of ideation and developing the projects and so on and so forth. So this is a process, essentially.
And these toolkits are available?
Yeah, there are many toolkits that are available out there. You know, they are. I mean, we obviously use some innovation and Blue Ocean Strategy tools, but you know, all these tools, if you Google it out there, is also available. It's easy.
Okay, yeah. And the last one is E.
Yeah, E stands for embracing change and enjoying the ride. We find that companies that that fall in love with innovation are those that really enjoy the ride, and innovation or change is a culture in itself in the organization. So they are always open to change. They don't get too comfortable, and they don't always want to keep to the status quo. So they're always very fluid in whatever they do. So that's what E stands for. So I think it's very important that, you know, if you want to fall in love with innovation, you have to always embrace change, enjoy the ride.
Mm.
You know, some people embrace change, but they don't enjoy the ride. They really suffer and say that, wow, you know, we are being disrupted, or let's fight for it, and so on.
Yeah, but it's a thin line, right, between fighting for your company and embracing innovation. How do you actually balance between the two?
Yeah, so I think you have to go back to looking at your strength and evolve. It always starts with the decision to want to evolve. So when you want to evolve, so what you're doing is you are taking the best of both worlds. What is coming? What are the changes that are coming, and mm-hmm. the strength that you have, and you evolve it. So that's where you fall in love with innovation. So you can innovate, but you don't come to a stage where, as you said, you know, you don't come to a stage where you are reactive. The moment you are reactive and not proactive, that's a sign that you are just trying to defend what you have. But the moment you're proactive, that's where you are taking a different take, different solutions, and you are making decisions moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about completely making a change, but at least it starts with the decision to want to change and right. embrace this change.
Yeah. And it's funny, because how do you know any ideas you have are innovative or not? So you did say that you put a few gatekeepers to evaluate, right?
Yeah.
It seems like a long process, but at the same time, for example, you're in a car industry,
yeah.
Automobile industry, and then you mm-hmm. see, you know, competitors are coming up with autonomous vehicle, then should you copy that idea so you are actually on the same race, or should you come up with something different? How do you then navigate when things are moving so fast today, right?
Yeah. Actually, if you have a process in place of ideation, and you operationalize it into a system, it can be very fast. It's not going to take long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an idea from an idea to a project, you know, like the one that we did was very fast. So it's within a month or 2 months, you know, it can be almost implemented.
Mm.
So on the contrary, it's actually faster when you have a proper organizational innovation system in place. And on the contrary, you have more ideas coming in because you are getting ideas and you're collaborating with your suppliers, you're collaborating with your entire value chain, you're collaborating with your customers. And people are giving you ideas. And you'll be surprised when you have a system in place, how many people will give you ideas and want you to succeed.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's very important. I think going back to your example, which is automobile, many a times the companies that are very innovative are the ones that have the ears on the ground. They are the ones who have a system in place that can actually get more feedback from the customer. I give you a very quick example, a company called Caterpillar. You know, not the shoes, but you know, the ones that produces heavy machinery and also
what
tractors.
What a name.
Tractors.
Yeah.
And they produce, they are number one in producing tractors. But what they do is they get feedback and ideas from engineers, and they get feedback from the construction companies. They get feedback from all the users that are using their heavy machinery. So when they get these ideas, and they even went to an extent of co-designing with them and coming up with innovative products. So that's actually, on the contrary, what can happen when you have organization innovation in place. Mm.
Okay, so yeah. I guess because now on enterprise, we do cover a lot of tech innovations or tech startups, right?
Yeah.
The ideas of, now you look at all the smartphones, they all look the same.
Yeah.
You know, just a rectangle black screen.
Mm-hmm.
So then you see the death of BlackBerry and Nokia, but now they're trying to resurrect, right? Yeah. Like Nokia and the new 3310. I don't know what to feel about that, actually. So
I would buy it because, firstly, it's like there's no WhatsApp on it, so I'm going to be very happy.
Do you think that's innovation, though?
Well, you know.
So this is, that's what I mean. Like, how do you know your ideas are innovative?
I think everybody. So innovation on its in its core definition is a breakthrough, right? It's innovatio. It's a breakthrough. So at the end of the day, it has to be a breakthrough. And whenever you use the word breakthrough, it must have a strong following or demand, and something that will be a game changer. So I'm not sure about the 3310. I think, you know, it's something that's very creative, or maybe even just trying to bring back memory and so on. I'm not sure if you used it, but...
Yes, I have. It's my first phone.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Likewise. So I think that, you know, unless they bring it back with a different kind of technology, I'm not really sure about that. So innovation should be something of breakthrough, making lives better. Mm. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be high tech, but unless you tell me that, look, with this phone, there's going to be so many things, like it's going to increase security and people are going to know exactly where I am so that I don't get abducted or something, then there's a different story altogether. But if it's just going to be the same thing, then I'm not really sure. It's just maybe reinventing the wheel.
Okay, and just, you know, before we leave this conversation, just conclusion, you know, for organizations who really maybe just start to innovate within their organization and infuse this culture to every single employee.
Yeah. So I think firstly, I've never seen any organization that's not excited about innovation. So that's the convergent point that everybody shares. But the difference between those that do and those that don't, surprisingly, it's not about resources. It's not about money. It's essentially about idea management, you know, and how you manage these ideas, and having one or two dedicated team members to look into these ideas and seriously value innovate, and providing and creating an ecosystem, which essentially, again, you know, this could be big words, but it can be simplified. You know, it's about a decision to have a group of team locking in these ideas, you know, managing these ideas and making sure that they're aligned with the company's strategy and what the company's vision is about. And at the end of the day, collaborating with everybody in the ecosystem, everybody, which includes your suppliers, customers, and so on, and bringing the business forward.
Mm.
Then you will know you are taking a proactive measure to embrace innovation, to fall in love with innovation. Eventually, you will reap the benefits. You will reap the rewards.
Mm. All right. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Angeline.
That's Raj Kumar. He's the CEO at UCSI Consulting Group. And this has been Resource Center. If you want to find out more about this article that Raj actually published, we'll link it up on our podcast. And you can download this podcast via our BFM app. And it's called Love Innovation or Die. You can actually just Google it. It's that simple. And thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.